thanks. I would be the one that caused the problems on the system. The speaker that did not show up was going to talk about China, that hopefully would set this up a little bit, and then I'm going to try to set Steve McDonald up, who's going to talk a little bit more about global consumption. We want to talk a little bit about China, and we all know the issues sort of surrounding China. I guess, first of all, I'd like to thank my co-author, Bing Liu, a postdoc at Texas Tech, and contributed heavily to this work. But we all know the situation in China. China's sort of the 800-pound gorilla in the room in terms of the volume, in terms of consumption, imports, all the characteristics that we think that drive market forces. And China has been, you know, we've had this sort of evolution in policy by leaps and bounds, more or less, over the last several years. China sort of clipped along with an import policy for some time, but then when we apparently ran short in global cotton supplies, China implemented a stock accumulation policy, which, as everybody remembers, had a pretty significant impact on global markets. The process is basically they bought a lot of cotton off the global market, put it in storage, and operated a reserve program and let stocks flow out of reserves as needed by the textile mill in order to try to support the internal price inside of China at really, really high levels. What happened in that process is it really benefited everybody that exported cotton around the world in terms of having a home for a lot of cotton production in a time when ordinarily we might not have been using that cotton. So it put a pretty good support underneath global prices. What they did, though, is accumulated a fairly significant stockpile of cotton out there. And I think, you know, it's important to remember, and Steve can talk about this as well if he gets to it, but it's important to remember that in terms of stocks in China, there are two types of stocks. There's the official government reserve of stock, and then there's private stocks. And those behave a little bit differently, but still in total, there's a fairly significant quantity of stocks out there. But China, like everybody else, is going through significant budgetary concerns. They're looking at the costs of maintaining this program. They're looking at the impacts on their internal prices and their textile mills. When the internal prices for cotton are well above a dollar a pound, it makes it fairly uncompetitive, even at their efficiency levels, to continue to spend cotton. We've seen a number of changes in terms of whether they spin it or whether they import yarn as a result of these sorts of policies. But if you think about having 60 million bales of cotton in storage, the storage costs alone are fairly significant. So they're having to look at that. And one of the things that the Chinese government has announced recently is a shift away from the stock accumulation policy to more of a direct support price policy for cotton, at least on an experimental basis. And then they added to that this last fall the potential for not purchasing over quota. So they have a WTO commitment in terms of the number of bales that they'll import. They hinted that they won't import over quota. I doubt that's probably true in the long run. They probably need over quota imports. But so there's a number of things that are going on here. We've got a drawdown of stocks or a potential drawdown of stocks, a change in the import policy coming online, a subsidy, direct price subsidy for domestic production, and this potential for no over quota imports. So there's a number of things that are going on here, and trying to disentangle those and how those are going to affect global markets is fairly interesting. Again, you know, we're at somewhere around 60 million bales, roughly half of all global stocks, depending on how you count them, when you count them, and what you count in terms of the reserve versus private stocks. But somewhere in that number, it's a huge number. That's kind of a thing, the important thing. Well, If you look at, even if they're not going to accumulate more stocks, let's just assume that for the moment that what they wanted to do was just maintain their stock level. If you assume about a five-year lifespan of cotton in storage, that means you need roughly 10 million bales of cotton a year cycling through that stock just to maintain the quality. That's a lot of cotton. 10 million bales is a lot of cotton that you have to move through that system. So that's if you were just going to maintain it, that you know you would have significant imports or significant movement of cotton through that system. But what are they going to do when you start downsizing the stocks? So if you look at the strategy, it makes sense. What they're trying to do is to prop up the domestic production system through a subsidy program, limit imports coming into the country so that you're forced to draw cotton out of the stocks and use in the system. And so that's kind of what we're looking at it. Now, the question that we have that we don't know the answer to, I don't think anybody knows the answer to, is how rapidly are they going to draw those stocks down? You know, what's the target that they're after to get those stocks down? Do they have an incentive? If you think about the cotton that's in storage, a lot of that cotton was purchased at well over a dollar a pound off the world market. You know, if you start selling it at 65 cents, that's a pretty significant financial loss, but at the same time, it's like holding on to an asset in a declining market. How long do you hold on to it? Because you've got costs of storage, it's costing you, so you have a financial loss there versus a financial loss in storage. So that's kind of the question. You know, if you start thinking about the incentive mechanisms there, you know, there's some incentive to move it out, but probably not to liquidate the whole thing. So what we did is we used our global fibers model at Texas Tech. We simulated three alternative scenarios for Chinese stock drawdowns. Of course, we established a baseline like we always do, and that baseline actually has a decline in stocks over time just from natural economic forces the way we're working out. We just sort of said, well, what if they just, you know, 1% per year below what the baseline is? A 5% annual decrease below the baseline and a 10%, you know, much more dramatic decrease below the baseline. And we assumed that the WASDE forecast for 2014-15 was the starting point. We just took it as given. And then we allowed all other policies to remain the same so that we weren't worrying about changes in Turkey or wherever to muddle up the mess. This gives you a sense of what the time path looks like on the ending stocks. If we start somewhere around 63.2 million bales, our baseline had us ending at somewhere around 58 million bales if you didn't change any of these other characteristics. All the way down to if you look at the 10% drop, which is the green line, somewhere around 30 million bales at the end of the baseline period, with an average of about 45 million bales over that time period. So, you know, going from 60 million bales to 30 million bales is a pretty substantial decrease, but it's certainly not outside the realm of possibility if you look at some of the other characteristics and depending on some of the assumptions, as Steve will get to in a minute, about what world consumption may be. If we get significant growth in world consumption, this can happen fairly naturally with very little impact on price. But if you keep consumption constant and you force this much more cotton into the system, of course, it drives prices down pretty well. So that's kind of the next graph. If we just sort of keep consumption at about a 1.2 to 1.4% growth, a fairly low consumption growth number globally over this time period, you see this sort of impact on price. So at the 10% decline, you know, we get an initial shock, and this is it, for those of you who are in the room with OA disparaging me backhandedly, and I'm just kidding, OA was not, but I was the person in the room at those meetings being fairly pessimistic going, I don't know why we're not at 50 cents. Of course, we were talking about average farm price, not futures price, but that 30 cents, you know, is a fairly dramatic drop. Of course, that's the initial shock as you get the divergence. The market basically works itself back out. but to a much lower level, to an average farm price over the historical trend, or over this projection period of 56 cents, rather than an average of somewhere around 63 or 64 cents average farm price over the life of that thing. So our baseline has us about where OA was sort of indicating. It's somewhere in the mid-60s average farm price. But if you start pushing cotton out of the Chinese reserve into the system without allowing for more consumption growth, you get fairly dramatic price decreases. So the question, you know, that we have going forward looking at this result is how much consumption growth are we going to get? If we get significant consumption growth, as OA tends to think, or, you know, some other people think, if we get 3 or 4% consumption growth, it will likely offset and maybe even result in higher prices with Chinese stocks being drawn down. But if we stay at fairly low consumption where we've been over the last few years, we could see fairly significant drops in price relative to what it would be without those changes in policy. Just a few more graphs to show you, illustrate. Of course, if we're exporting less to China, then our stocks go up. So if you look at the average stocks, but again, as we allow the market to adjust over time, those stocks come back down to relatively low levels where we've seen in recent past. And exports, you know, maybe that's an optimistic number there, from going from 10.9. The scale's off, so it's a little misleading to look at the size of that jump, because it's from about 10.9 million bales to about 11.9 million bales in that year. It's a fairly significant jump, but after the market reaches a new equilibrium, we're trading sideways there at somewhere around 11 million bales. Probably more realistically, if we look at the more recent baseline numbers, we're really thinking more, you know, in the 10 million bale range, but that gives you a sense for that. Chinese imports obviously drop off, but again, as they're bleeding their stocks off, they are also having to supplement with additional imports, so their imports come back, and those imports would be stronger if you had stronger consumption growth than what we're seeing right here. So again, you know, that sort of the moral of the story is that the initial shock will be worked out. We'll probably end up at levels equal to or higher than we were before by the end of the forecast period. But the trick is, what are those consumption numbers? So you can see, you know, we're forecasting in this scenario, decent growth in Chinese consumption, but that still only, you know, we're still only talking about 1.4 to 1.6% growth per year. If we get up in the long-term historical of around 2 to 2.2% growth, consumption growth, we could see significant mill increases in mill utilization, which offset some of those import reductions. So in the Chinese production numbers there don't include, this scenario doesn't include the internal subsidy. But the fact is that the internal subsidy doesn't really do much for Chinese production. It basically concentrates more of the production in Western China as opposed to Eastern China. You get a little bit of drop, but it's not a big game changer when we look at the overall numbers. So again, sort of wrap this up. If you look at the rapid drawdown scenario, we could see fairly dramatic decreases in U.S. price. Again, this hinges on what we think consumption is going to do going forward. OA is the ultimate optimist when it comes to this kind of stuff, and I'm hoping that we see more consumption growth than probably some of us were looking at. But given the economic activity globally, I'm not sure how much growth we're going to get, but we may get more than we're certainly expected. More moderate or realistic scenarios of these trade-offs would give us much lower prices in the beginning, but the market's going to tend to recover. And if you look at the economics here, I don't think there's a lot of incentive for China to get overly aggressive about drawing down their stocks. And then you throw in, I think, OA's commentary on potential quality problems in those stocks coming out of China are, that's a good, you know, an econometric model like this, you can't capture those kinds of things, but you do have to account for them realistically, and I do think they do have some quality problems that they're going to have to supplement foreign growth cotton or at least domestically grown cotton from current production years to offset or blend with those varieties when they come out. So I'll stop right there if we have any questions. Yeah, and I think if you look, this marketing year is a good example of what's happening. So if you've got 34 shorter staple at this point, you're basically going to the loan with 48 or 52 cent cotton, you know. If you've got 36 and longer, you're selling it at 70 and they're buying it as fast as they can buy it. And so I think that's indicative of that. If the higher quality stuff is really being marketed very well. And, you know, I think that's going to be a trend that the U.S. is going to continue to see, is those higher quality varieties are going to be more valuable in the marketplace because they're going to continue to sell in increasingly niche markets for the higher quality stuff. But, you know, in the past, California reliably delivered those high quality things. In Texas, we can deliver as good a quality as San Joaquin Valley cotton, but not as consistently. You know, the Becky Vicky's over here doing all that. But you know, we've averaged 36 staple in West Texas, and so it's certainly doable, but it's much less, or it's much more volatile in quality. But that's certainly going to be a key issue as we bleed these stocks off, because I don't think, I mean, you know, it's a law of large numbers things. There's 60 million bales, or some of that stuff is really good stuff, but there's a lot of it that's going to be really bad. Nikki? Yeah, that's definitely true when you look at the way that we're marketing cotton and the way that we may be marketing cotton in the future. Increasing numbers of contracts out there that are targeting specific varieties for specific end uses, that sort of thing, definitely. And, you know, it's hard. I think it's going to be hard, and it's going to be a hard transition for a lot of producers to think about quality as much as they think about pounds. But ultimately pounds pay. So if you're yielding 1200 pounds of sorry cotton, you're going to lose a lot of money in these markets, I think, especially in the next several years, unless something changes, the high quality stuff makes money. All right. Thanks.